Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David Mitchell, the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation outside the 12th Hour of Liberty, York, Texas. Today is November 18, 2017, or it is Tishri 1, 2021. We're going to start this new moon, High Sabbath, Seventh Day Sabbath, with a song entitled The Unclouded Day. Though they tell me of Rome far beyond the sky, though they tell me of a home far halfway, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. But they tell me of an unclouded day, of the land of cloudless day, of the land of an unclouded day. Though they tell me of a home when no storm does lie, oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home where my friends have gone. Oh, they tell me of that land far away, where the tree of life in eternal sheds its fragrance through the unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day, oh, the land of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm does lie. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded king. Oh, they tell me of a king in his beauty fair. And they tell me that none else shall be whole, for he sits on the throne that is whiter than snow. In the city that is made of gold, oh, the land of cloudless day, oh, the land of an unclouded day. They tell me of a home where no storm does lie. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me that he smiles on his children there, and his smile drives their sorrows all away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again in that lovely land of unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day, oh, the land of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds lie. No, they tell me of an unclouded day. Sin is the transgression of the law, part 3, 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of Yahweh. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of Yahweh, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And we know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and that in him is no sin. Okay, now we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Let's read a cross-reference on that, and let's see what we come up with. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of the Father in him. Alright, now that explains it even more clearly. And as we go back now to 1 John chapter 3, and we pick up verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever abideth in the Savior, Yahshua, sinneth not. What does it mean? What does it mean to abide in him? In other words, if you have your station in him, if you have your abode in him, if you make him your sanctuary, okay, then he becomes your house for you. He becomes your house. Because you go back to 2 Corinthians, and back up to a few verses on that chapter 5 where we just read. And we'll read verse 1 through 5 now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of the Yahweh, an house not made with the hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being a burden, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of the life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is the Father, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Yahshua. For we walk by the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, not by the sight. Why does he say that? For we walk by faith, but not by sight. I wrote a song with that in it, not knowing that this was in here. For we walk by faith and not by sight, ever mindful of his power and might, with reaching down helping hands day and night. Verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Yahshua. Hebrews 11:1. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of the Yahshua, that every one may receive the things done in his body according unto that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, let's go to Colossians 3:24-25, and let's read a cross-reference on that. It says, knowing that the Yahshua, you shall receive the reward, knowing that of the Yahshua, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Yahshua Messiah. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of the persons. Now that's very interesting. You go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8 and 9, and read a follow-up on that. Back a few pages. It says that knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Yahshua, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in the heaven, neither is there respect to the persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Yahshua and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of the Yahweh, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in the high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of the Yahweh, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of the righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of the peace. And above all, taking the shield of the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, the Son, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of the salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is of the word of the Father. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all of the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Gospel, it says, I say Yah, put Yahweh's name on the front of that gospel. Put gospel, which means the plan of salvation through his Son, through his blood. That's how you have, that's the mystery of the gospel. Is the plan of salvation that has been mapped out through the blood of his Son, of Yahweh's Son, Yahshua, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And you're going to read about that in Hebrews 13:20, and it's a very interesting eye-opener there to read that Hebrews chapter 13, a whole chapter, matter of fact, that says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers Yahweh will judge. Colossians 3, for instance, 5 and 6, it talks about that also. There in Colossians 3, 5, like I said, 3, 5, and 6, it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of Yahweh cometh on the children of the disobedient, and in which ye also walk some time when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Ephesians 4:23-24, now is a cross reference under that. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, that after Yahweh is created in the righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now to give place to the devil, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give unto him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, whereby you are sealed unto the day of the redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as Yahweh for Yahshua's sake hath forgiven you. Now let us go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, knowing, at verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Yahshua, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto Yahweh, and our trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them, that glory in the appearance and not in the heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is unto Yahweh, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Yahshua constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And so now you go and read Romans chapter 5, verse 15, as a cross-reference on that. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of the Father, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Yahshua Messiah, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, S-I-N-N-E-D, past tense, who was that? He's talking about Adam, the first man that sinned, the first man created on this earth, and he's the first one to sin. So is the gift. For the judgment was by one unto condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto the justification. What does it mean by that? You're justified by the blood. It says so right there in Romans 5 at the very beginning of chapter. It talks about verse 1. Therefore being justified by the faith, and I added the blood, in his blood, we have peace. And I believe there, but it says also in verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in Yahweh through our Savior Yahshua the Messiah, by whom we have now received the atonement. And how do you receive the atonement? Yahshua the high priest goes in before the Father on the day of atonement with his blood offering for those who have confessed their sins before up to that time. And he intercedes for those who have confessed their sins by his blood. And not only by his blood, but he uses incense from off of the altar. A sweet-smelling incense that has to go up with the prayers of the saints. Not only that, but Yahshua presents the prayers of the saints that have confessed their sins so that they could be covered by the blood of Yahshua. And then Yahshua takes all of this in before the Father on the Day of Atonement, and he offers up the prayers of the saints. It says so right over there in Revelation chapter 8 when it talks about the starting of judgment of the living here in these last days. Then that sanctuary system goes into operation with Yahshua as the high priest. And it says right here in Revelation chapter 8, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before the Father, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now that right there coincides right there with Romans chapter 5, verse 11. It says, and not only so, but we also joy in Yahweh through our Savior Yahshua the Messiah, by whom we have now received the atonement, This is talking about the last days, folks. This is talking about for the judgment of the living, the time that we're in now. This is what Paul was talking about back to those Roman Gentiles. He was talking about a future time when Yeshua would make an atonement for the living saints in the last days, so that he could sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel to be judges with him upon the throne of David. And it says so right there in Luke chapter 1, it says that he sits upon the throne of David. And Luke 1, 31, 32, 33, it talks about that. The Father in heaven is going to give unto his Son here on this earth in the last days the throne of his earthly father David. Luke 1, 32 again. Let's read verse 31 again. Let's read verse 30 again. That's for the first time. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with the Father. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Yeshua. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and Yahweh Elohim, the Father, shall give unto him, his son, the throne of his earthly father David. Now, I added the word earthy, but this is where David is. His sepulcher is with us today, according to Acts chapter 3, his sepulcher is with us today. So this is very interesting, because we're dealing with the present truth, so the judgment of the living. This is what we're in now. We're in the judgment of the living, not only for the 12 tribes of Jacob, but also for the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 3, it says, Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being in the ninth hour. Or at the ninth hour, okay, so the ninth hour of the day is a sacred hour every day. Prophets of Israel, the inspired leaders of Israel that has been appointed over the candlestick of the sanctuary service for Israel, and for the Gentiles. So it says Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. The hour of prayer comes twice a day, at the third hour, starting in the morning, and at the ninth hour in the afternoon. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asked alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of the Yeshua Messiah, the Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now this is what Yahweh has called his leadership today, to be empowered with the Pentecostal power. And that is also on the day of the typical Pentecost when this takes place in these last days for Yahweh's leadership. They are to meet on the day, antitypical day of the Pentecost according to the creation calendar, the correct time of the year. This is when the power and the promise of the power of the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon Yahweh's delegation of the 144,000 with the house of David, that are in the house of David. It says, then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of the Yeshua Messiah of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising the Father. And all the people saw him walking and praising the Father, and they knew that it was he which sat for the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with the wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as a lame man which was healed, held Peter and John All the people ran together unto them and to the porch. Let's do this again. Upon the porch. That is called Solomon's porch, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this?" Question mark. Let's do that again. "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this?" Question. "Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our power, our holiness, we have made this man to walk? The father of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of the Jacob, the father of our fathers." That's the fathers that came out of Egypt with Moses, 1500 B.C., "hath glorified his son Yeshua, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of the Pilate, when he was determined to let him go." Pilate wanted to let him go. Well, Pilate had it in his power to let him go, and Pilate could have let him go. But Pilate was a weasel. He feared for his life, for the people, because he didn't have the power, the Pentecostal power in him, to stand up for the truth. So he sold his soul to the devil. But you denied the Holy One, and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom Yahweh hath raised from the dead. Wherefore we are witnesses, and his name through the faith and the blood. Now I put the blood there, but it says, and his name through the faith in his name. And the only way you can have faith in the name of Yahshua is if you accept of his blood and believe that that blood has the power to wash away your sins and to regenerate you and purify your soul and save you and give you eternal life. That's the kind of faith you got to have. "Have made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, for the faith which in the blood of Yahshua, which is by him, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of y'all." Now, if I didn't add the blood here, there would be no real purpose or meaning for me having read all this to you, because it wouldn't stay with you. But when I emphasize that the blood is where the power and where the remission of sins and where the regeneration and where all of this renewing of our strength and healing us comes from. "And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which Yahweh before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Yahshua should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And when are the sins blotted out? On the day of the atonement." Now you back up a little bit to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It says, "And then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Yahshua Messiah, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And what day were they on then? They were on the day of Pentecost. This is when they had the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is when 3,000 was converted in one day. "For the promise," this is in Acts 2:39, "for the promise is unto you, and unto your children, and unto all that are afar off, even as many as the Yahweh or Elohim shall call." Even as many as the Father shall call. Isn't this amazing? And so now it says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." So now here Paul is telling these Gentile people here in Acts, he says, "Save yourself from this untoward generation of these Pharisees, Sadducees, that are ruling in the temple on the hill there. You go to the temple to worship with the with your fellow Jewish people, and what do those rulers do? They're dominating and they're teaching you lies, and they're reading from books that they have made up laws and rules in. The Pharisees are, 613 of them, they added to the law of Moses, and they're trying to teach you that this is the way of life, their way of interpreting it. That's what they call an untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. This is on the day of Pentecost, folks. The actual time set on the creation calendar. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. What do you think it's going to be with these 12 tribes of Israel, the antitype of the 12 apostles, whenever they take the same commission that was given unto the apostles, only magnified a million times more? What do you think they're going to do with all these gifts of the Spirit? And all that believed were together, and all had all things common. And so the possessions and goods imparted them unto all men as every man had need. Now, I have a good friend that I call him a good friend, and he is indeed a very good person to know out there in the Gentile world. And he's not a rich man, but he has 1,000 times more than I have, or more, in the way of earthly material. He's my age. And he loves to preach, and he loves to talk about the saving grace of our Savior to his fellow man, if they will listen. And, but, you know, all of these earthly possessions don't amount to anything. If you still end up with them at the end of your life, and you still have the desire to preach unto your fellow man, but yet you still got around your neck many earthly possessions, like the rich man that came to Yeshua one day, inquiring how to be saved. He thought he really wanted to know, or at home he would have stayed. Yeshua says, well, he says, keep the commandments. He said, I've done all of that. From my birth on up, I've kept the commandments. Go in and sell all that you have, and follow me. The rich young ruler couldn't do that because he had many earthly possessions. How about you today? Do you have many earthly possessions that stand between you and following the Savior all the way? It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising Yahweh and having favor with all the people. And the Yahweh added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Now, isn't that interesting? And these people became converted and baptized by Peter and them on the day of Pentecost. Boy, they were so filled with the Spirit that they went and sold their earthly possessions, the stuff that they didn't need. They didn't sell the house around there that was around their head, over their head, but they did sell stuff that they didn't need. And here's what happened now here in Acts chapter 3, start with verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being at the ninth hour. Well, now actually, I done read that. Let's just fast forward to Acts chapter 5. Let's start with verse 1. Now let's read the last few verses of Acts chapter 4. Start with verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of Yahweh with boldness. This is on the day of Pentecost. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. And this great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Yeshua Messiah. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which has been interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and kept that part of the price, his wife also being privy unto it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the Holy Spirit, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto the Father. And Ananias, hearing of these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things, and the young men rose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much? And she said, yea, for so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the spirit of Yahweh? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the spirit. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in the Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself unto them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added unto the Yeshua, multitudes both of men and women. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of the Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with the indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Yahweh by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, go stand and speak in the temple unto the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the sin of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors, but when we heard open, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the chaplain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one of told them, saying, Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey Yahweh rather than men. The Yahweh of our fathers raised up Yahshua, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath Yahweh exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance unto Israel and forgiveness of the sins. There it is right there. There's your sins again. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Spirit, whom Yahweh hath given unto them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood up there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, and in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, You men of Israel, take heed unto yourselves. What you intend to do is touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, unto whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. Acts 5:37. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of Yahweh, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against Yahweh. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Yahshua, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Yeshua the Messiah. All right, that's the end of Acts chapter 5. Chapter 3. Let's start with verse 10. It says, And they knew that it was he which sat at arms at the beautiful gate of the temple. Let's read a little earlier than that. Acts chapter 3, verse 7. And they took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising Yahweh. And all the people saw him walking and praising Yahweh. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with the wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them, and the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The Yahweh of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the Yahweh of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Yahshua, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of the pilot, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom Yahweh hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through the faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through the ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which Yahweh before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Yahshua should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Yahweh. And he shall send Yahshua his son, the Messiah, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things, which Yahweh hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Let's do that again. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things, which Yahweh hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall Yahweh your Elohim raise up unto you, and of your brethren like unto me, him shall you hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. Now let's go back and read those two verses again, 21 and 22. Let's read verse 20. Let's read verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted. This is the key right here. That your sins may be blotted out. You've got to get those sins blotted out. You've got to learn what sin is. And I told you earlier that sin is a transgression of the law. It says so there in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. So all sinners are lawbreakers. Just that pure and simple. All sinners are lawbreakers. And they're willful lawbreakers. If they're carrying this Bible around in their hand, and if they're opening it and reading it every day, then they are without excuse. Because you're dealing with the living Word. You're dealing with the Word that takes inspiration to understand it aright. You know, the word inspiration is only mentioned twice in all of the Scriptures. That's in Job 32:8, and that's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I believe. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse, last two verses. It says, 2 Timothy chapter 3, if there is a chapter 3, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of Yahweh may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So I'll read that to you again, 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration, by the inspiration of the Father, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then in Job 32, it says, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. So you don't have inspiration, you don't have understanding, period. You don't have understanding about the eternal things. You don't have anything if you don't have inspiration. And if you won't have inspiration if you have sins. If you have sins and you are living in sin and you are a sinner and you don't know how to become righteous, get rid of your sins, then you have a problem. You certainly don't have inspiration, and you don't have no right going around thumping the Bible, claiming that you love the truth and that you love preaching and for the saving of the souls of your fellow man, and at the same time you're living in sin and you can't rise above it. That's hypocrisy, blasphemy in the highest degree. All right, now back to Acts chapter 3, Verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of the refreshing shall come from the presence of the Yahshua. Now in Acts 2:38, it says, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Yahshua Messiah, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to repent and be baptized in the name of the Yahshua. I'm talking about that sacred name, Yahshua, not Jesus Christ. Yahshua. For the remission of your sins, and I'll add the rest of it, through His blood. That's the only way you can get remission of sin, is through His blood, by His blood, in His blood, of His blood. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Alright, now I'm going to end this service with Romans chapter 3. Let's go and see what we got. Alright, if I can get to it here. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of the circumcision? Much every way. Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of the Father. For what if some did not believe? What do you mean? Believe in what? Believe in the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of His Son, Yahshua. Shall their unbelief make the faith in the blood of the Yahshua without effect? Yahweh forbid, yea, let Yahweh be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness come in the righteousness of the Father, what shall we say? Is Yahweh unrighteous, who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. Yahweh forbid. For then how shall Yahweh judge the world? For if the truth of Yahweh hath more abounded through my lie unto His glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And you see, they're judged as a sinner. And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jew and Gentiles that they are all under sin. We proved this, that they're all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Okay, Psalms 14:1. What does that mean? There's none righteous, no, not one. Let's go read it. So, let's see what Paul is saying. The fool hath said in his heart, John, this is Psalms 14:1. There is no Yahweh. And who is it talking about? The fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no Yahweh. And they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. So when you go to the Yahweh looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek the Father. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. It's talking about these fools, these ones that have denied the Father and the Son. That's the ones that Paul was talking about. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's not a one righteous among the fools and the damnable. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. This is Romans 3:14 now. Whose mouth is full, the poison of asps under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of Yahweh before their eyes. Now we know that what things serve the law said, it saith unto them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before Yahweh. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of Yahweh without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of Yahweh, which is by the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, Messiah, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of Yahweh. Talking about all the Jews and all the Gentiles, they all have sinned and come short. Otherwise, why would Yahweh raise up a spirit-filled, purified, sanctified apostles to go and teach them the plan of salvation? Only those that received of the words of the plan of the salvation from the apostles were those that were willing to acknowledge that they were all sinners and sinful. And they had to be born again. They had to repent and be converted. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Yahshua Messiah, whom Elohim has sent forth to be a propitiation through the faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of the sins that are past through the forbearance of the Father, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Yahshua. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Or worse? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by the faith and the blood of Yahshua without the deeds of the law. What does it mean? Without the deeds of the law. It didn't say without the law, it said without the deeds of the law. Is he the Elohim of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentile? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one Yahweh which shall justify the circumcision by the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, and justify the uncircumcision through the faith in the blood of the Yahshua. The circumcision are your Jews, the uncircumcision are your Gentiles. Do we then make void the law through the faith in the blood of the Yahshua Messiah? Yahweh forbid. Yea, we establish the law. What law? We established the law that was given on Mount Sinai by the Father through to Moses, that was recorded and transferred unto the people of Israel at Mount Sinai, and then it was recorded and left on record for all generations, clear down to the end of time, for both Jew and Gentile. That's the law. It's called the law of the Moses. And of the Lamb. It says so in Revelation 14 and Revelation 15. Calls it the song of the Moses and the song of the Lamb. This brings a close. Let's get this to our contact. This is at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Zion's Hill by the Elijah Davis song that I've written.
Yeah.